Jonesy.
What is up?
What's up, bro?
Mr. Larry Law.
You on the road or what?
Of course, you know it. I got a 2-hour commute ahead of me.
That's crazy. Where are you at?
Let's see. I'm passing by Franconia, Springfield. It's drizzling, so you might hear some windshield wipers. But, the traffic's okay. I mean, it's normal DC NOVA traffic.
You're passing right through the mixing bowl, what used to be. So, everybody, welcome to Express Lane. This is the boys of By George. Bring you a completely new product. Still will stream through our By George podcast on iTunes that you can find at By George GMU. Of course, we are the voice of George Mason. My name is Brian. On the phone, we got Chris. Chris, why are you driving? You've had a recent change in your life. And so why the hell would you be on the road for 2.5 hours?
Yeah, it sounds terrible. But, I recently moved to Richmond, which is VCU territory. So currently living down in the Museum District of Richmond. Beautiful. Love the city. But I still do work in Northern Virginia in Arlington. So twice a week I make the trip up. And it's like a terrible commute, but I wake up at 5 a.m. And I make it in by 7, and then I leave work around 3 o'clock and hope to get home around 5, 5.30. So, yeah, I mean, I get some time on the road. I get to sort of sit there and listen to some podcasts. Right now I'm listening to Fear by Bob Woodward, the Audible book. So, yeah, it just gives me an opportunity to sit there and listen to some jams and, I don't know, collect my thoughts.
Not only is he a podcast maker, has been featured on Play to Win, obviously created by George, but becoming a podcast listener. So first we're going to kick it off, Traffic Jams. First song for you guys is my choice. It's called, a song called Cold War by Cassius Clay. Chris, Cassius Clay is from the best city in the country. Where is he from?
Cassius Clay, best city. It's gotta be DC, right?
It's gotta be Washington DC, born and raised. And guess what? Where he moved? He moved to Brooklyn. Another By George famous. So he went from DC to Brooklyn. Oh. Independent, no
this,
label.
This guy's like the A-10 tournament. He's just following the essentially. Yeah.
So I got this song because Chris and his wife Danny, they put me on to Insecure, an HBO show. You know, who would think that like two white dudes are watching a show about like a black chick who's like working to improve like poverty in elementary schools? But it actually has a kind of culture, and that's actually where I found this song. So here it is again. That is Cassius Clay, Cold War.
Yellow tinted lenses in a pink gelato. Falling out the window, hit me back tomorrow. Will always be the one tough fact to follow. Cause we aiming for the stars with a pointing hollow. Feeling these songs, mocking jokes and cuddles. Started this job selling rocks and idols. They only swipe right if you fuck for follows. Welcome to the days of the broken shadow. But if we just smoke, light me mental, would you reference this open part of me? The minute I know the time.
Okay, so that was Cassius Clay, Cold War. We didn't give you the full song.
I just say one thing?
Yeah.
I love the song. B, I love the show. And again, yeah, we are not the appropriate demographic for that show, but you know what? It's 2018. I don't care. In fact, you know who does the music for the show? It's Beyonce's sister. She organizes all the songs. So, whatever her name is.
I'm blanking on her name right now, but it's
something Knowles.
It's something dumb.
We're definitely showing our white guy-ness right now. But either way, she does all the music. And yeah, the show is just, I listen to the entire show Shazam open. I'm just like constantly recording off the TV screen. So,
and now,
great show for music.
They put the soundtrack on Spotify. So now you can just go listen to all the songs that are in the episode. Chris and I are actually building a Spotify playlist for our listeners that will include every single song from Traffic Jams. So that was that. Moving right along to Bumper to Bumper. This is our fantasy football segment done a little bit different. It's not just going to be your, hey, Chris, who would you start, this guy or that guy? And it's not going to be, you know,
Start Melvin Ingram. Yeah, we know. Or Melvin Gordon.
I mean, there's plenty of professionals out there who are going to give you their hot takes. This, truthfully, is not that show. So what we're going to get into first is that Chris and I have been involved in a league together for quite some time. Very fun league. It's a keeper league. We do auction, which is my only auction draft, which is pretty crazy. You know, it's, you really do get to determine the values of players, and not only that, but also, you know, kind of build your team for the future. It's just so unique compared to the fantasy football leagues that are just, you draft the same snake draft every single year.
And by being a keeper league, it just makes the stakes that much higher. Like, I just feel like, you know, now I think we're, you know, 6-7 years deep. You know, we've owned players now for over 5 years, some players. I've had DeAndre Hopkins now for 5 years, it feels like. And so the stakes are just so high. We get so into this particular league. I think I can comfortably say this is the one league that I really want to win, you know, and I want to bet among my friends at this one league. So it's a very important league to me, and I think it is to you. So,
of course.
I don't know if I can...
And we want to give you that kind of preview into the league and keep, let you follow around for the whole year. And we want to kind of, you know, suck you in to how real intense our league actually is. People are waking up, including Jones, and Jones has now set a trend. People are waking up the morning of waivers, so they don't want to waste their waiver claim spot. So they're waking up right when waivers processes at 3:58 in the morning. People are waking up at 4 a.m. to get the guy they want that they didn't want to waste a waiver claim on. I mean, that's just insanity. And so, you know, I figured, you know, with a league,
you can call it insanity. I call it strategy.
Yeah.
Because I started with, like, the waiver priority of 12, and now I'm up to 3 because of that strategy. So the moment that Todd Gurley goes down, I'm getting the backup. So...
which I believe is something Brown. I forget his name, but so we had something interesting happen today. So Chris and a couple of guys, we talk about fantasy football pretty much every single day. Honestly, if we recorded it, it would be a pretty funny podcast. The amount of research people do for fantasy football in our group chat is just pure craziness at this point. People are getting notifications on like practice injuries, so. Some people are starting to take this pretty seriously now for the last couple of years. But we had something happen today, which I wanted to give Jones the chance to kind of talk about. So let me break it down for you real quick. Our friend Peter was about to make a trade. It was Trey Burton, which, you know, who is that, for Tyler Lockett. Another kind of dud, you know, dud for dud. And so Pete, you know, said to the group, you know, what do you think? Chris, without answering, immediately goes to the other guy he's trading and tries to bash Tyler Lockett and present a better trade. And, you know, I immediately thought, wow, red flag. Chris Jones is trying to steal a player from his friend who we thought, you know, this was safe. It was a safe space to have this conversation. So I wanted to give Chris the opportunity to defend his actions. And not only that, but like, Trey Burton? Who really gives a fuck?
All right, so I get it. It does sound a little shady. It sounds sneaky. But first of all, you're making it sound as if I'm doing a disservice to Pete. But I would also be, I'd be doing a disservice to Mike if I didn't offer perhaps a better trade. So as much as I may have hurt Pete by going sort of behind his back to offer a better trade to Mike, Mike is getting a second, you know, offer on the table, which I'm sure he likes. Second, with Trey Burton, this was a guy, to put that in perspective, Travis Kelce went for like $32. So he was a very highly touted, highly hyped tight end going into the league. I personally bid all the way up to $29.
But you were bidding with him for some nub in the league. You know, and sorry, Mike, you know I love you. I love you, Mike. But, I mean, the guy's just spending money to spend money at that point. So I wouldn't say his value was high because you and Mike upbid him.
I'm a guy that notoriously has had fantastic tight ends during my entire tenure in this league. I've had Jordan Reed. I had Travis Kelce for the last 4 years. So I'm a guy that wanted to target a tight end, and I wanted to get the next big thing. And I think Trey Burton was supposed to be more of a sleeper and more of a breakout candidate, which I was going to invest in. And the fact that he got bid up to about $30 was not optimal. So I dropped out after $29. Mike got him for $30. So in my mind, I still have him valued roughly around $29. So when I see Trey Burton today go for essentially just Tyler Lockett, which to me is just peanuts, because Tyler Lockett is just not good to begin with. Granted, yes, he put up some points in the first 3 weeks, but that's with Doug Baldwin out. Doug Baldwin is practicing again. This is a Seattle offense that is not really going anywhere. Chris Carson had 32 carries. We don't really know the identity of this offense. So it's not to say Tyler Lockett's, you know, I just value Tyler Lockett as absolute dog shit. I mean, that's just my opinion. So when I see this guy that I was coveting the entire, you know, offseason go for dog shit, I'm heated, and I'm going to make a counteroffer. I mean, put it this way. Let's just say we're at, like, a car auction, and I really like this specific car. Let's say it's, like, a random, like, 1987 Camaro. It's not anything great, but, you know, say me and this other guy are just bidding it up. And I bid $50,000 on this Camaro, and Mike bids $50,001, and I'm like, you know what, have it, you know. And Mike wins that car, and the next, and 3 weeks later, I pull up and Pete's in that car, and Mike's riding a bike, and I look over at Mike, and I'm like, what happened to your car? And he said, well, no, I just traded the car with Pete, and he gave me this bicycle. That's essentially how I view it. You essentially traded garbage, you know, for this thing that I just really wanted. And so, I don't know, I just got really bitter. To me, he's someone that I envisioned to pop off. This is a product of the Nagy offense who came from Kansas City, who made Kelce a thing. So that's me. Hey, call me shady if I went behind his back to make a second offer. But, you know, it was a moot point because the trade had already happened. So
yeah, I mean,
I didn't get in.
I'm happy to admit that, you know, I'm happy that you admit that the shadiness was there. I think, you know, we cleared it up within the group chat before we hopped on this podcast, and I'm glad I gave you the forum to defend yourself a little bit. Here's my take. You're killing Lockett, but he has all the measurables and everything you normally look for, and those things sometimes are contract extension, targets, at this point, the touchdowns. So I feel like you're just misvaluing him, and that's fine. You know, like we always say, we can all have our own value. But it's not as if he's not Jamison Crowder right now. He's not Sterling Shepard right now. You know, he is a step above that.
He's a guy that every year I've played fantasy, he's always sort of the guy at the top of the waiver wire. Like, his name is just always there. Like, he just lives on the waiver. And so when I see a guy like that who had, you know, a nice little start to the season, you know, to yield Trey Burton, and I understand no one probably thinks Trey Burton is that great. It's just someone that I really wanted.
I think the issue is that
I lost my tight end week one, Delanie Walker, who I ended up getting, you know, for $13. He broke his leg, but, you know, game one. So I'm kind of in scramble mode. So, of course, I'm going to have to be desperate and try to make a play for this tight end.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
And Chris has proved he'll go hard for his squad. He cares about winning at all costs, and he proved that today.
I know that I'm throwing out a ton of comparisons, but I almost have the feeling like I'm at a wedding, and a chick that I've always loved is about to walk down the aisle with her man, and I stand up and I go, look, I love you, and I know it's not ethical. Like, I shouldn't be doing it, but I might as well give it, like, one final shot to win her over. And granted, she walked down the aisle with the other guy, but at least, hey, I gave it a shot.
Yeah, I mean,
that's all I could do.
It's not as if Pete's going to remove you from his wedding party, you know, or, you know, be actually mad at you. But I would say that we may have to watch out for the Jones a little bit in the group chat. I want to move right along. There was another massive trade. And these are the things we're going to kind of talk about, just kind of trades, breaking down the value, kind of giving you the inside look into a pretty intense league, as I've already described. I traded Antonio Brown. He's in his final year of his contract, so he can't be kept. And I grabbed and I traded him for Mike Evans and Kerryon Johnson. And both of them are in their first year. Evans at $37, kind of undervalue. Kerryon at $24, probably overvalue. And I want to get Chris's quick hot take before we move on to our second segment of Traffic Jams.
Sure, and beyond just, like, our nubby, you know, league values, because I don't think people may even understand, like, the prices and the contracts and all that, but just straight up, I do really like Mike Evans. Him and Fitzmagic have been sort of on the same page. I actually got Evans in one of my other leagues. I think he's going to put up wide receiver one numbers. I think he's going to be a top five wide receiver in the league when it's all said and done. So just straight up, that I think almost could have been even. But just as a kicker, to add in Kerryon Johnson, you know, in a keeper league, that holds some value because he is the next big thing for the Lions. Now, is he proven? No, but he did have a 100-yard game in this last game versus the Patriots, which broke the, you know, the 8-year drought or whatever that the Lions had without having a 100-yard rusher. So I do think that there's big upside for both guys. And this is a, you know, you traded away an Antonio Brown that's aging. And, you know, be that as it may, he may be getting targets, but he is looking like a secondary receiver to Juju Smith. So I personally thought it was a fine trade. I think he won the trade. But I just personally am high on Juju Smith-Schuster. And I really like Mike Evans. So
I think
just all those, So.
I think, I knew this right away. I sold low. AB has not been performing, skipping practices, yelling at his coaches, you know. So I sold him low, and I bought Evans and Kerryon high. So I recognize that. So what the listeners really need to consider is just kind of how powerful having – guys, that kind of a cheap value is, because what ends up happening in these auction leagues is, yes, of course, you can follow estimated auction prices, but what happens is rookie running backs get completely inflated because there's nothing left on the market, and then so, you know, you have Saquon Barkley going for $70, and so you'll see just these kind of numbers run up. That's why Kerryon's a little bit more expensive because, truthfully, you know, running backs and wide receivers, if they're rookies and they got some clout, they go pretty high. So happy with that trade. If you have any questions for Jones and I in regards to fantasy and you want to know, you know, who we think you should start and sit, go ahead and shoot us a message. We'll air it on our next podcast, but we're not going to waste too much time discussing it because, hey, you're going to start who you're going to start, and you don't give a damn what Chris or I have to say.
I'm arguing for Trey Burton.
Right. I mean, it is tough, but that just kind of shows you, you know, how serious our league is. Once you get like 12 to 14 teams, you know, it's slim pickings on the waiver wires.
And let me just also, I have one last thing to say about it. The tight end market this year, with Delanie Walker now out, you have Evan Engram now out with an MCL sprain. You have, you know, some top end wide or tight ends that are underperforming. So the tight end graveyard, there's just slim pickings. And so even a mediocre tight end, anybody with remote height is going to be, you know, just a potential stud, just because, like, right now people are turning to Will Disley and, Austin Seferian Jenkins. Like, it's just nubs. It's a nub market.
I mean, Jordan Reed is not even playing that good, but he's looking like kind of a stud in the current tight end landscape. So Jones, when you hop in your car, you get off work, you leave a little bit early to try to beat the traffic. Do you snag a couple snacks and a beverage before you hop in your car for the two-hour drive, or are you just riding dry?
Well, I'm hoping that no one from my job is listening. They probably aren't. But they supply some cabinets with, you know, these, like, really high-end organic snacks that you would find, like, at, Whole Foods or something. So I fill my book bag up with a ton of snacks. So you can just hear it right now. Like, I'm just going to kind of mush this bag. But I got, like, 10 things in my bag, ranging from, I got tortilla chip things. I got a turkey jerky bit. I got this coconut crunch cashew bit. I got some cookie dough energy bar bit. This is a bunch of crap, but I definitely load up.
I do love turkey jerky, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
This next segment, and we're obviously not going to just preach our segments every time, but this is our first episode, so trying to get you familiar. M&M, my snack of choice when I'm hopping in the car. And so in this segment, we're going to just discuss, our time, a couple Mason stories. From here or there, I went to Nova for 2 years, so I didn't have the full 4 years experience or live on campus like Jones did. I was a straight clown in high school, so it was hard to, I don't even think I could have gotten it at WU. What can your boy do? But what I'm saying is that when I joined, it was the year that Southside opened. And I just remember any time, broke 21-year-old, didn't really, I was eating like pizza, frozen pizzas and whatnot. But when Southside opened, I was like, all right, this is going to be my spot to chill, to eat, to study. And I would stay from breakfast to lunch to dinner, and would never leave, especially when I had night classes. So one of my fondest memories was just hanging in Southside. You knew you were going to see about 10 sillies coming in and out in my time there. But it brings me back to another memory, because I used to go to Mason campus sometimes when I didn't go there, was what you had to eat.
I was actually in grad school whenever Southside went up, so I kind of got to see the entire transformation from nubby, chow hall to this, like, amazing Southside. I was kind of bitter. I was angry that I didn't live on campus for 4 years with all these, like, food options that these kids have nowadays. I mean, they have, like, I don't even know what they have. They have, like, Chipotle. Like, they actually have real restaurants now. Like, before we had, these, like, Sodexo bake-me-out type of Chinese food and bake-me-out, Indian food. And, it was just, like, whatever. But now they have, like, legitimate restaurants at Mason that you could use, your meal plans with. So, I don't know. I'm bitter.
Yeah, so, like, what were the options? Looking back,
it was essentially JC, Chow, or Sub One.
Yeah, and Chow was just
that was about it.
Your nubby brick burgers, or did you actually find yourself enjoying it?
I loved Mean Gene's burgers. Like, I'm sure, like some older people might get that reference. But, yeah, I liked the food at Chow Hall. I mean, it looked like a dump. It was always empty. It, you know, just smelled weird. But it was like, for me, though, like, I liked it. I don't know. It was just like you could load up on a ton of food. We'd bring book bags. Load up on, like, the silverware and plates. I still have the Fiestaware. Like, if you go to Mikkel's apartment right now, it's full of Fiestaware from Mason. That's, like, 12-year-old Fiestaware.
And so these kids, yeah, these kids need to understand, you know, just how good they have it now. Because it wasn't always like that. I mean, you always talk about times of, you know, that whole South Side strip was a forest and that you have to walk through it at times to get to and from class. You know, now they've got brand new dorms.
It was a little path. You'd walk through like a forest and there was like a little basketball court back there where people used to get high. Like that was essentially what that was. And now it's like a robust, you know, they've like, you know, four dorm halls there and a South Side and looks fantastic, but
I know dorms
rock back in the day.
Dorm buildings have like their own little snack shacks and Starbucks and just whatever they need. So not just going down memory lane for our Mason heads. Chris spent plenty of time in Fairfax. I was born and raised in Fairfax, and so we're super excited to see what Mason has become. Hoping, you know, Mason can take over Fairfax City, because truthfully, what does Fairfax City have?
Panera.
So that's Eminem.
Well said.
Little Mason memories. We're going to bring you more memories as we go on in our show called The Express Lane. 95 math. Okay, this is our segment where we just get to hate everything I love to hate. And what I want to talk about first and foremost is I'm in the real estate world now. So not my first choice. I was a teacher. I was coaching basketball. You know, my dream was to go on and be a grad assistant at a college and move up the ranks. And, you know, what I really loved was just kind of sitting down with film study and breaking it all down for the coaches so they could just have it on demand and watch film and just kind of have all the plays to judge right then and there at their disposal. You get married and, you know, life kind of takes you the way it's going to take you. And Chris knows that, you know, sometimes women, they make the choice for you. So basically it was
Me too.
Yeah. Alex said, you know, I'm not going to move to Randolph-Macon in Asheville where the best restaurant is Bojangles so that you can make $28,000 a year cutting film for some D3 school. So that right there, you know, crushed my soul, and I had to move on and get a new job, which brought me to real estate. And so, you know, you look at realtors, you know, you see them on TV, you see them around your neighborhoods, and they're always in suits and ties. But, you know, real estate pops off in June, and it's butt hot. And so your boy's not going to be walking around in a suit, sweating, showing houses. Why do I got to wear a suit to show a house? And so what's been happening to me more and more is, you know, I won't be too underdressed. I'll have joggers and bands and a, you know, a little button up. And the seller or whoever's opening the door will be like, are you interested in the house? And I'm like, no, I'm the realtor. Stop prejudging me just because I don't have a suit on. And it's really starting to get on my last nerve because we're supposed to be living in a realm where we don't prejudge. And, you know, I'm looking nicer than some dude in some $100, you know, Jose A. Bank suit. You know, it's not like I'm just out here looking like a nub. And so it just has me on full tilt. Why, you know, why the expectation for people to look really nice in jobs where you don't need to look nice? Like, I just can't get over that.
Hmm. Okay. All right. I like the hate. Let the hate flow through you, my son.
Can you top that hate?
Yes. My hate right now, and it's, you know, just I'm going to go for the nearest thing to me. It's traffic. I just don't get it. Hello?
Yep, I'm here.
Someone calling me. Someone's calling me. Well, here's another thing I hate. The scam, likely. You get those calls, too?
Yeah, ever since I joined real estate,
yeah,
my ass is getting 30 calls a day on my cell phone.
Yeah, I'm getting a call right now. So scam likely. I read an article that said by 2020, 60% of all phone calls will be scam, like a scam call, which is insane. But that's not even the thing that I hate. I hate traffic. And so being on 95 North and 95 South during peak hours, I'm in it a lot. And I look around and I'm thinking to myself, why? Like, who are all these people? Where are they going? And I just don't get it. Like, why did Northern Virginia continue to build more and more homes and apartments and condos? And there are no more roads. It's not like we could accommodate all these people. And it's just getting more and more jam-packed. And it's just heading just, you know, farther south. The traffic's extending all the way down to Fredericksburg. And I'm just thinking, like, why? Like, what are people doing?
I mean,
why aren't their jobs in Fredericksburg?
Your ass is living in Richmond and driving to Arlington. You're part of the problem.
But I'm one guy. I'm one guy. But I'm just saying, you know, there's just so many damn cars. Like, they need a few more roads or something to accommodate all these people. And then, like, the thing that really tilts me, it's like I'll be in bumper-to-bumper traffic because of, you know, for something, and you get up to the point where, like, the traffic clears up, and there's not even, like, a satisfying accident to look at or a disabled vehicle. It's just clear. You're just like, what the hell was that? It just was trafficy, and then it just opened up, like, you know, someone unleashed a fart, and, you know, I'm just kind of like, oh, there's not even, like, a car flipped over on fire or something. Like, there's not even a police car anywhere. Like, it's nothing. It's just, like, I can't even explain it. It just happens, and it just frees up unexpectedly for no reason, and then it just reclogs back up. I don't get it, and it tilts me.
So everything that we love to hate. If you're listening to this show, I want you to send us a direct message on Twitter at ByGeorgeGMU. Tell us which one you hate more. Do you hate dressing up for work every day, even though what you wear really doesn't matter? Or do you hate getting in the car and battling traffic with the rest of the nubs who are leaving work at the exact same time as you, probably hopping on the exact same road as you? Which one tilts you more? Guys, this has been the Express Lane. Again, we are recording this on our phone, so if it sounds like we're in a fish tank.
Sorry, man, the guy just cut me off too.
If you wonder why it sounds like we're in a fishbowl, it's because we're on our phones, recording podcasts, getting creative. Truthfully, I miss Chris Jones, so this is just an opportunity to hop on, chat, you know, and not only that, but spread the things that we love and hate to you guys. So this is by George, Chris, and Brian. We'll be dropping this on iTunes at ByGeorgeGMU and our website. You can find that at www.giantkiller.co. Thanks for listening. We always enjoy your feedback. Jones, you got any last words for our thousands of listeners?
Yeah, I'm you know, because this is like one of the early episodes, the first episode, I think we need like a signature tagline to go out on. You know, something like, you know, we're exiting the Express Lane or something. Yeah, that sounds kind of appropriate, right?
So we're not trying to pay the tolls no more. We are exiting the Express Lane. Thanks for listening.
Somebody gotta up the bar. You rappers are subpar. Guns and the picks down one wall. I'm feeling like a lone star. Try come fly my way. Get hit with a crowbar. Yeah. Drinking on Merlot. Trap going turbo. Murder in my city. G Herbo. Yeah. That's why I smoke herbal. They try cut my legs off. Jump all of the hurdles. Take a minute. Look at my whip. Yeah. Take a minute. Look at my bitch. Yeah. Take a minute. Took it like this. Yeah. Rappers ain't talking about shit. Yeah. Putting y'all up on game. Yeah. Out of the rock like Dame Dash. My top speed is way fast. On the car lot. I'ma pay cash. Charged up like credit cards with a big amount. Before I bought myself a piece, I bought mama a bigger house. Y'all repeating all the same flows I can live without. Lessons coming for the week and I gotta give them out. Messed up myself, switch up the priorities. Don't respond well to authority. Tasty made a beat and I'm who recorded me. Yeah. All y'all talk about it, bitches and lean, and that shit'll bore me. What's funny, you ain't got no more than me. I ain't got the money, it ain't distorted me. I speak of both sides, praise the most high. Bought a Maybach, just a ghost ride. Gotta stay strapped, don't provoke mine. Gotta stay back like it's low tide or it's payback. And in no time, but my pockets got a gold mine. It's a mosh pit, so it go round. Make a profit, never slow down. Charged up like credit cards with a big amount. Before I bought myself a piece, I bought mama a bigger house. Y'all repeating all the same flows I can live without. Lessons coming for the week and I gotta give them out. Make way for the new school, red like Mewtwo. Riding with a deuce too, spilling like you who. Click going cuckoo, don't tell them what they do to you and your crew too. Get another bus down, put it on YouTube. Slick shit, we can go tit for tit, getting hit when I'm used to. Going through SoundCloud on a Bluetooth, I ain't check the screen, wouldn't need no who's who. Lil Bump, Lil Xan, none gets them, can we please let big shit win again? I'll take over the rap game, imminent. Fans calling me the GOAT, like my name Eminem. Shit pump my adrenaline. Louis Purse and a kid, nothing about me feminine. Shots fired, I was sending it. On the corner in the foreign, cause I'm always bending it. Take a minute, look at my whip, yeah. Take a minute, look at my bitch, yeah. Take a minute, take it like this, yeah. Rappers ain't talking about shit, yeah. I'm putting y'all up on game, yeah. Out of the rock like Dame Dash. On the car lot, I'ma pay cash. My top speed is way fast. Charged up like credit cards with a big amount. Before I bought myself a piece, I bought mama a bigger house. Y'all repeating all the same flows, I can live without. Lessons coming for the weekend, I gotta give them out. In the kitchen, and it's tasty.